Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Let's start with that. So, in short order, as you all have know, Shelby will be heading down next week to move in with her brother for the next little while in preparation down there of come May 14th of entering into a new family by way of marriage with Chuck. And so as I was given this opportunity, I was anticipating that she would probably be in the audience so I could embarrass her in front of everyone. But health ain't our family being a sharing family. My wife passed on a little cold to her, so she is stuck at home this morning to avoid passing that on to anyone else. But anyway, in consideration of the changes that her life are about to undergo, was preparing this lesson and had this in the back of my mind, and Amy actually prodded me a little more to just go on and do it, to direct this lesson to some things that I would like her to have on her mind as she goes out through these changes that are going to impact her life. And I do appreciate the songs that Tim came up with this morning, because they are the anchor. God is our anchor. Christ is the anchor to which we must hold fast through all the storms of life, through all the changes that come and the turmoils and the trials. And so these are basically going to be summarized in several prayers that I would have offer up for my daughter as she begins these next phases in her life. And the first prayer I would consider is to consider the health of your mind. And we can read in Romans 12, verse 2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our thoughts, our feelings, who we are today, who we want to be tomorrow, all of these things begin with how we think in our minds. Paul's exhortation here is as applicable today in today's world as it has ever been, with all the information and imagery shooting around from one fiber optic cable to the next, to these little machines that hit us every day that we carry around in our pockets and stare at all day. Dedicated, continuing, persistent effort is required to keep our mind renewed and focused on what is sure and where our anchor is tethered. There are all around us every day influences in every imaginable form seeking to draw our attentions away to them, to listen to them, to buy this, think that, love this way, look like me, be like me. The world says pay attention to our outside so that you can look like and conform to everyone who is around you. But our outward appearances are deceptive and they can change with the seasons. Or they can change like the weather in St. Louis from day to day and hour to hour. Today's high fashion is tomorrow's trash. There is no enduring substance to it. It has no firm foundation. It has no anchor. God, though, says transform the inward so that you can look like Him. Form your mind to what a Christian should look like. Join your spirit with God's spirit, His kingdom, and His cause. For in all these things is where we find substance. This is what will endure. Included here is a challenge to test what you are being bombarded with before allowing it to be put into your mind. The type of test that Paul mentions here is one, the word was used for a test of metals by fire to determine the purity of that metal. For the will of God is that your mind is pure. The will of God is that you seek out what is good, what is acceptable. Seek out the perfect so that your life, what you say and what you do, reflects God's purpose for you. I also consider a prayer for your emotional well-being as you depart from our household. As we read in Psalm 46, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." I jumped ahead a little bit. Sorry. Let me back up. Got completely lost in my comments. Going back to health of our mind. If you turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Where we read, "Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." So it is my prayer for you that you will not conform to the ungodly patterns of this world, but that you will be transformed through the power of His Word and His perfect will for your life, and to remain guided through His grace and His knowledge. Sorry for the disjointed effort there. Anyway, considering your emotional well-being, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. I want to venture out on a limb and hope I'm not cutting it off behind me. But I will go so far as to say that a woman's emotional state may sometimes resemble this. Emotions can and do change constantly and often like a roller coaster whipping through a turn or twisting through a loop. Life is filled with highs and lows. It is possible to react to the same event with either joy or fear and trepidation. You may not always understand the emotional reactions that you have to something, but be assured and trust that God has uniquely created you as a woman to use your emotions to help you better understand the world that is around you. Emotions provide you empathy and compassion for others. Emotions provide the ability to connect for you to connect to God at the spiritual level. They provide for you that ability to tune your life with the Spirit as you seek guidance and direction in your life. A life walking in the Spirit with God is what leads to hope for what is to come. That hope in turn will bring forth praise of God for His blessings upon us, for it is only in Him that we can ever find salvation. This psalm, this verse of this psalm, admits times when grief and trouble come, it can feel like an overwhelming burden that is driving you down. And the easy thing to do in these times is to allow your emotions to adopt the discouragement and darkness that surrounds you, to take satisfaction in the misery, to make yourself even more unhappy, and to soak in the feeling of being wronged. Attempting virtue in being down and gloomy, refusing comfort. But the hard thing, as people of God, is to search to the other side, wherein is found fulfillment and brightness, the light. To remember the past mercies of God. To look around at the blessings that even surround you even right now today in the middle of this trouble that you find yourself in. To look upward from this world and forward to the next with the hope that comes from knowing God. To cast the burden to God and allow Him to lift you up. So I pray to you that when your emotions seem to be tossed about like the waves of the sea, that you continue to understand God's love for you, and that you always continue to maintain your hope and confidence in Him. I also offer up a prayer for your faith. Ephesians 3:12, we read, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him." Faith is the foundation of our walk in this Christian life. Peter admonishes us to build upon that foundation virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. There are many things in which we can have faith. Some of us put faith in the roller coasters that we ride, that they will continue on the track while we are on that ride. Every one of us in this room this morning put faith in someone driving a car, that they would drive safely, steadily, and attentively as they move toward their destination this morning. I have faith that the house I left this morning will be there when I return this afternoon. I also know that as durable as that house may be, it requires attention and effort to keep it structurally sound. I also know that that house will eventually be destroyed, whether by purpose or accident, by natural cause, or by the end of this world. Building a life with faith in God as the foundation, though, is the only life that brings endurance to guide us through troubled times. James 1, verses 2 through 4. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, we read, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Our faith in Him allows boldness and confidence to approach God when troubles come upon us, so that we can seek His mercy without hesitation, but with the assurance, full assurance, that God will hear our prayers, our pleas. So I pray for you to remember the faith that you declared when you were baptized, that you remember that this faith should give you confidence to approach God with freedom, with confidence, and that you continually strengthen this foundation, studying His Word. I also offer a prayer for the friends that you select. Proverbs 18:24, we read, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister." Selection of our friends is an important thing. And we often must be selective with whom we count as a friend. God has put within you the desire to connect to others through deep, meaningful friendship. And development of a friendship not only requires not causing offense or being quarrelsome with that friend, but showing love and endearment to them. If you remember the second command that Jesus quoted, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This involves seeking the other's pleasure, visiting regularly, doing good for them, especially as it pertains to the building up of the life in God. Having a close, reliable friend provides the promise of finding comfort in that friendship when adversity strikes. The bond of the friend that sticks closer is derived from a word meaning to be glued or cemented together. So I pray that you choose friends with caution, but that God provide you with friends that will encourage your walk in truth and righteousness. And I also offer prayer for the influences that surround you. 1 John 2, verse 15, we read, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Like the selection of our friends, the selection of what we allow to influence, what is allowed to influence you in your life will either lead you on a path that draws nearer to God or on a wide road that leads to destruction. We earth dwellers, if we act according to nature, would naturally live a life without the constraints of a religious exercise. But instead, we would act in ways that represent our own self-guided principles and work in ways to achieve our own self-directed goals. And we effectively become a god unto ourselves. The influences that you allow to direct your life will cause you to seek out fulfillment in the temporary pleasures found in the things of this world, or they will direct your attention to the life that comes after. Does that mean you should take no pleasure in anything found in this material world? No. To have no interest in the flowers, the streams, forests, or flowers, fountains. To love nothing of this world's other inhabitants? No. No pursuit of any of the things found in this world that give us ease and comfort in our daily lives. That's not what this means. The point, though, is to remember that this world and the things found in it is not meant to be the primary influence for how we direct our lives. We are to remember who it is that made the flowers and the streams and the forests and the fountains. We are to remember first who it is that made the world's other inhabitants around us. And to remember who it is that is the source of all knowledge and that allows for the making of all these objects that provide the comforts and eases our daily lives. So I pray that you will not allow the ungodly influences of this world direct your steps, but that you will seek the influence of things that lead to truth and righteousness and holiness. I also pray for your heart. Proverbs 4:23, we read, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The heart, that is the essence by which all your mind, your emotion, and your will is expressed. For out of the abundance of what you treasure in your heart, your mouth will speak, as Jesus tells us in Matthew. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil, as we read in Matthew 12:35. The charge here is to be vigilant of what you allow in to your heart. For like our own bodies, where circulation of blood begins in the heart, carrying the life-giving elements throughout the springs to that farthest extremity so that our physical bodies may live and thrive. If we introduce toxins into our blood, the heart will also drive those toxins throughout the body and leading to death and decay. Like your body, the expressions of your heart can go out into the world around you and bring life to the people with whom you interact from day to day. And also, like your body, the expressions of your heart has the potential to poison those relationships. So I pray that you will guard your heart with God, setting a hedge against evil, and that your heart will desire to love and serve God all the days of your life. My last prayer this morning for you will be for your life as you come together with a husband later on. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You have not married yet, but you have chosen to enter into a marriage relationship very soon. The day of your wedding is certainly one I'm sure you are looking forward to, and that you will remember as your marriage builds over time. As that day approaches and some nervousness may begin to set in, there is a mantra you may adopt for that day. And to keep things simple, we will simply use these three words. Think on the aisle that you will walk as you go toward the altar to take your vows while the hymn is playing in the background around you. Be careful, though, that as you approach your groom who is waiting at that altar, that your mantra does not morph into this. To allow that to morph is to invite disappointment into your marriage. You cannot change anyone except yourself. Changing yourself, in fact, is hard enough on its own. But with God, and we are promised that all things are possible. And I'll go back to a point I addressed earlier. To bring about change, you must willingly and deliberately allow Him, that is Jesus, God, to alter you. God has set that the husband is to be head of this marriage. God does not intend for that headship to mean absolute, unchecked, tyrannical power, rule, but as one who in the Lord is seeking to draw closer to God, is also doing what is needed in the household to lead his family closer to God. It can be represented in a bit like this, where there is a triangle with a successful marriage requires three people involved. There is the husband, and there is the wife, and there is God. Where, as the two of you draw closer to each other, you will draw closer to God at the top. And as the two of you draw closer to God, you will also draw closer to each other. You have chosen to marry a man who has also proclaimed his faith as a Christian. Use that foundation for the beginning of your marriage. Continue to build on that foundation to encourage him in his faith. Help him to become a man, continue to be a man who fears the Lord. Help him on his journey as he seeks to become that man like David, who was after God's own heart. This is my prayer for you and Chuck. So as we come to the end of my lesson this morning, I provide a reminder to all who are here today and who are listening through the internet this morning, who have not done so yet, that Jesus' invitation to come and find rest in Him is offered today. You may also find the comfort and hope that comes from an obedience to the call of the good news, entering into His body through baptism, putting to death the old way that leads to death, and resurrected into the new way that leads to life. If you have taken those steps to enter into the body of Christ, but you're having troubles in your life that you wish to the members of this congregation to help bear this burden with you, it is our mission to help and support you in these times as well. So if there is anything we can pray for you this morning, or to help you along your path, won't you come now as we stand and sing this song?